Hello and welcome to Becoming Unstuck, where we tell the stories of internal paradigm shifts. Unsticking from old paradigms is the work of becoming, or setting ourselves free. This show is meant to illustrate how becoming unstuck is both journey and destination, process and result, the way home and home itself. The process of becoming unstuck isn't formulaic. It isn't neat and clean. You can't learn it from a book. You have to be willing to get dirty. This kind of education is embodied. It is dynamic and vibrant and messy. This show isn't one in which we cover up that mess, because that mess is life. And what we are here to do is learn to live it. I'm Jessica Sojourn Lee Barre, and this week, it's just me. So let me explain. I've been having a revolving conversation with clients lately where the phrase, we have to be willing to be the role models we didn't have, keeps arising. So often we struggle with a deep fear of being who we really are. Our insecurities flare up around the fact that we don't fit into the cookie-cutter mold of the dominant narratives in some way. But one reason we are feeling so insecure is because we ourselves may not have had the role models we needed to help us understand all the beautiful and varied ways of being human. It's getting better and worse at the same time, so here we still are, feeling alone in our quest to be who we are. We are the only ones who can change that. We can be the ones who are strong enough to be the role models we wish we had. We can choose to value ourselves and each other enough to expose the dominant narratives for what they are, and in the process, expose ourselves for what we are and be the unique expression of what we find. Instead of teaching each other how to keep pieces of ourselves dutifully locked away, we can teach each other how to set ourselves free. In actuality, it is the cages that are the problem, not the humans. Because this theme has been so prominent lately, I was thinking of doing an episode about it, but then I stopped myself. Talking about something like that from outside of it can get confusing for folks. It is as necessary to be the thing as it is to explain it. I am unsatisfied with talking the talk without walking the walk. Just talking the talk serves to help others get skilled in talking the talk, which is one of the most major plights in our society. I don't want to contribute to that, so I'll be walking the walk as well. For me, being the role model I wish I had looks like a professional practitioner, mental health, educational, spiritual, or otherwise, using their challenges as teachable moments before they become neatly packaged parables in the aftermath. Someone willing to intentionally and deliberately share the mess for the purpose of illuminating and explaining it, for the purpose of helping us learn that we don't have to be afraid of it. I don't think I had any adults in my life, professional or otherwise, who weren't afraid of their own messes, so of course they were afraid of mine. What was handed down to me was fear, not truth. Because in truth, the issue isn't the mess itself. It's the intense fear and feeling of fraudulence that comes with it when we are never shown otherwise. This is the thing I'm hoping to root out because it does us and our world a great disservice. We don't have to be afraid of ourselves, our doubts, our crises, or our messes. If we don't get stuck in the idea that the mess invalidates us, it is the very thing that makes us stronger, better, more clear. In truth, it is a great ally, helping us see ourselves better. As Rumi says, the cure for the pain is in the pain. It is only through the mess that we can come to see ourselves rightly. We must learn to endure it because the reward is great. From the end of a story, all the twists and turns and not knowing become worth it, because you know you made it this time. From the end, the mess is fun and funny. The more of a mess you were in the middle, the more capable you seem from the end. From the end, the danger isn't palpable anymore, so the fear turns into relief, which turns into laughter. This changes everything about the story. It's so fun to tell a scary story from the end. Telling it is fun, hearing it is fun, and it colors the understanding as the middle being fun. From the middle, though, we have nothing to cling to. We don't know the end of the story yet, so we have to explain what it's like to reckon with that not knowing, with that questioning, with that doubt. We don't know if the toil will be worth it or if we made the right decisions, and contending with that is actually really hard. The difficulty becomes excitement once we know we're safe, and it skews the expectations of what the work looks and feels like when the story is relayed through that excitement. This was always so confusing to me. It made me afraid of my own mess for a long time. And this episode right here is part of my work, turning that fear into love. And I hope that intention and process is helpful for others as well. So this week, As the role model I wish I had, I will share my story from the middle and teach on the mess. As I'm in the middle, I think what I might do is continue serially every few weeks, as I don't know how long this story will be. But before I give the overview of my own story, I want to add a preface, a teaching, which is actually a cipher. My story, and really this podcast, while spoken in English, is told outside of a dominant paradigm. If you don't have any touch points outside the dominant paradigm, you're not really going to understand. You might intellectually process what I'm saying, but you're going to find yourself lost, dismissive, or weaponizing the content against yourself. In order to really get it, you have to listen under the text for the subtext. The words are meant to convey something beyond content. It's about something deeper, and the preface is a directive towards that deeper understanding. I want to talk about being halfway up the mountain, which is when we get stuck on a false peak on the way to liberation. Of course, every peak is a false peak because liberation is a practice of turning towards peace in each moment, no matter where we are along the journey. It is much easier to make this choice when things are going well, and thus it is easy to be fooled into believing that we're much farther along in our practice than we actually are. From what we would call a peak, it is easy to forget that liberation is both practice and result, and of those two, mostly practice. It is not one thing, but everything, and we must allow it to be so. But those who are halfway up the mountain do not want this to be so, as they like their peak. They may be very well intentioned and truly believe they have earned this peak, but this in and of itself is a signal of delusion. They may have forgotten what freedom really is, or more likely, they never fully understood it to begin with. We cannot understand false summits until we go beyond them, and because we like our peak, so few will. Many of us don't actually want liberation. How could we? We have no clear understanding of what it is, as it is impossible to translate, though we do try, don't we? We want what we see in our minds, what we imagine it is, what the language allows us to communicate, what we're told it is, or the co-opted version that gets paraded around so much more often, which is the promise of unending bliss. We don't understand the machine that powers this bliss is our own hand. It's our own practice. No one bestows this bliss upon us. We have to choose it. This, of course, is not easy, and it gets less and less easy the less control we have over our external experience. This isn't right, and it isn't fair, and it is impossible to hold at times. We have the capability to do our best work in the circumstances in which we are inescapably stuck. This is why, for instance, Mandela found peace in prison. We do our best work when we cannot escape the bounds of an outside world that wants to control us. And so many of us are in a prison of this world that doesn't have physical bars. This is how we have the potential to come to learn that we want peace, because peace is how we win against a machine we cannot control. Peace is how we claim ourselves for ourselves, how we remember our own names. The opposite of that is cresting a peak, where it is very tempting to believe that we have finally been chosen, seen, validated, and that we have been rewarded for all our hard work. The world peddles that pedagogy nonstop, so it's not really our fault, but we are the only ones responsible for us. So we get really confused. We think it looks like balloons and praise and rewards and bliss, and we think it's supposed to feel like praise and rewards and balloons and bliss. It doesn't really look or feel like that at all. It doesn't feel like winning in the traditional sense, and it doesn't feel like being rewarded in the traditional sense. To experience true freedom, you have to leave the paradigm of winning and losing, punishment and reward entirely. It has nothing to do with any of that, and therein lies the problem. This is why it can get really hard to talk about this. It sounds like doldrums, because we have no sight outside of the traditional paradigm. What do you mean there's no end? What do you mean there's no reward? Well, of course there are rewards, but they won't look or feel like anything you're used to, so we can't really call them that in this paradigm. Outside of this paradigm, those words take on entirely different meanings. It's not doldrums at all. In fact, if you could imagine every single moment being mystical and new, it feels much more like that. Except when it doesn't, because everything is fleeting, and some days it's harder to practice than others, because life is still happening in every moment. We don't get a break from life happening. We can't effectively understand whether or not someone is halfway up the mountain until they are slammed with something that takes them off the peak. Someone who is halfway up the mountain will not be comfortable collaborating with life, only feeling like a master of it. They won't understand that true freedom is mastering ourselves. They won't handle challenge well. They will cling to the peak. They will abuse themselves or others in an effort to get back to the last peak or speed up the journey to the next one. Someone who has gone beyond that understands that every part of the journey has merit for us. What would be the point of moving quickly to get from peak to peak when it's all meaningful in its own way? To be clear, it's not that there will be no resistance. It's that the practice is different. The person who is halfway up the mountain will practice clinging. They will practice abuse. They will practice entitlement or self-sacrifice. They may not even have conscious access to this practice, as this is what is normal for most of us. Someone who has gone beyond that will practice turning towards peace, remembering themselves, coming home, whatever that looks like in that moment. It's not that they always get there, but that is the practice. The practice is one that invites peace rather than one that invites tension. The practice itself helps to calm rather than upset the body-mind. When the practice itself makes us feel better and we understand that opting into feeling bad is a confused choice inside of a confused paradigm, we start to fall in love with the practice itself because it is the point itself. The practice itself is the reward, and we don't want to get further away from it. We want to move closer in. So, getting down to it, here's the overview of my story. Right now, I am untethered and I don't want to be. Firstly, I am being priced out of the Bay Area. I've been trying to piece housing together since June of last year because I've been tied here for work and also I don't know where to go. I thought something would pop up in that time, and then something did, my dream community, into which I had to move in and out in the span of a month, and my heart broke into a million pieces. Currently, I'm in an elected purgatory of moving from house sit to house sit until I can get a better sense of what's next for me. Secondly, I'm leaving the safety of a part-time job to put more attention on the blank page, meaning my income will cut in half, and that feels scary as shit. Thirdly, my community is quickly being eaten by the stressors of this area, stealing people away to other places and stealing our abilities to take care of each other. I have done a lot of work to create family here, and having that slowly peeled away from me is pretty painful. So here I am, at 40, searching for home in as many ways as you can use the word. A patch of land, a structure, a stable future, and somewhere more hospitable and less transitory, where it is easier to invest and be invested in. The difference is, this time, I don't feel capital S stuck. There are moments where I feel lowercase stuck, but they don't overwhelm my experience and they pass through. Because I don't feel capital S stuck, what I do feel is sad and scared. I feel scared because I don't know what's coming, and so I don't know how to prepare for it or how long it will take to get where I'm going because I don't even know where I'm going. I'm scared of being a pariah wherever I end up because the Bay feels like my people. I'm sad because I have such a desire to use my energy to help the world move forward, and right now, that energy has to be used on myself. The place I am is tenuous and vulnerable. I don't have secure housing, I don't have secure employment, and my safety nets are disappearing. Right now, I have to spend a lot of time getting really present so I can catch the urges of wanting to figuratively blow everything up, move to Portugal, start over, or just sit in front of the TV for days on end and get taken out of this world entirely. Those urges are strong right now, and they require a lot of my energy and attention to sit with them and let them wash over me while practicing not reacting to them. It's hard. Right now, I shut down screens at sunset and spend the evenings coming back to my body to make sure that whatever is there is getting a chance to be heard, to be felt, and to be processed. I know that this is the way forward, but it is really hard work when what I want is security, safety, and home. To be turning toward myself at this really vulnerable moment, rather than using that energy to scramble, research, and figure this out, is excruciating. But something in me knows I need this first. If I have the choice, I want to feel ready before moving back out into the fray. Language gets tricky here, and what I find myself wanting to say is that the reward of the practicing I've done up until now is that I'm much stronger. This is true. I'm also in the middle of a very challenging time, and I wouldn't have known how much stronger I was unless I had the opportunity to find out. So the word reward doesn't mean I feel rewarded by life, the universe, God, or whatever name you use for your higher power. The reward I feel is that I am relatively stable through all of this great challenge. And I'm relatively stable because I have practiced a lot, and I still do practice a lot. I practice more right now, not less. The reward isn't that I get to practice less. The reward is that I don't really feel stuck. I'm only just starting to be sure about that because I'm only just starting to have enough data to know. In the very beginning, all I could do was hold tight to that practice, which was also different from untetherings of the past. The practice helped me not get caught. Though there was one weekend I was so blinded by despair I wasn't sure who I was anymore, I did a really good job of showing up for it, letting it rock me, and letting it go. And things like that have made all the difference. I'll say more when I talk about housing, but through this process, it feels like I lost all my lodestars. I don't know where to point towards anymore, so I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't even have a vision for it. And I can't tell yet if I lost faith in my own vision or if I lost faith in vision entirely as a necessary component. Maybe it's something about semantics and there's something nuanced behind the word vision that wants to be seen for itself. I'm not sure yet. For now, what I do know is that I don't know what the future looks like yet, so I just have to walk forward and feel it out. This feels like a pretty scary place to be, having to move forward but not having anything I can set my compass on. How will I know I'm not moving in circles? The good thing is, at least I'm moving. Before this would have been impossible. I would have been immobilized or frenzied. I would not have known how to walk forward and feel it out. I would have been akin to catatonic, or I would have scrambled without discretion for anything that would catch me, a job, a house, a project of some kind. From here, though, I'm starting to understand that discretion is really important for everything that comes after this one moment of crisis. And while I don't have a vision, I do have a feeling. I know what I want it to feel like, but I have no idea what shape the future will take. And what I think might be more real is what I'm able to sense as I move forward, not what I'm able to envision from far away. It is my deepest hope that if I move slowly enough, that when I feel a pull to something that feels true, it will be coming from the purest place I have access to, which is the only thing I can do to save myself. So here I am, starting out on this journey, and I'm taking all of you with me. I'm hoping to have more clarity and stability by the beginning of 2023, so let me lay out the hopes and dreams and we'll see how we do. Hope 1, find a dot on the map that feels more like home. I am arbitrarily giving myself until the end of this year to decide whether or not I still want to claim the Bay Area. Or I guess, rather, whether it wants to claim me back. In all honesty, I will probably be in limbo here for about as long as it feels easy-ish to do that. What I'm hoping to avoid for the time being is the pressure of having to escape an uncomfortable situation. That is not fertile ground for making good decisions. House sitting is not a bad gig overall, and for as long as it is available to me, it gives me space to explore at my own pace. I have never needed a lot of stuff, but I have always needed more space than some. Here in the Bay, space is a premium commodity, and house sitting is one beautiful and creative way I can get it. It also precludes me from ever feeling settled and can be a hassle at times, like when I'm having to move weekly, it can get really exhausting. So I'm hoping that in 6 to 12 months, I will have found a dot, be it here or elsewhere, that feels like a deliberate, intentional, loving choice for myself and my future. Any suggestions for dots to explore are very welcomed. Hope 2, find the right kind of co-housing. At the beginning of this year, I was invited to join Golden Gate Co-Housing, and I couldn't have been happier. Everything that's happening there is everything in which I want to invest. Golden Gate is multinational, multicultural, multilingual, intergenerational, and set up for folks who are doing service work of some kind. The rents are slightly below market rate and are baked in for a long time, so it pays off to stick around. It is owned by a nonprofit that is collectively managed and run by the residents. It couldn't have ticked off more boxes on my checklist. I thought I had finally found the place I was going to set down my bags for a while, and I surprised myself by leaving. The weekend I really understood I wouldn't be able to stay, I broke so far down, I didn't even have anything left with which to hold myself, which is a place I haven't visited in decades. 3 friends had to come help me put myself back together. Reckoning with that type of despair has ultimately been good for me, though it's been one hell of a ride. This is where I lost many of my lodestars, and I wonder what I will find in my search for housing and home. Hope 3. Expand the blank page. When I took a business class at the beginning of this year, I was in a push and pull with my mentor about narrowing customer segments. I said something like, "No one asked the Buddha to narrow his scope." And he said, "Well, the Buddha wasn't trying to run a business." And I found myself yelling back at him, "Neither am I." And right there, my friends, is the crux of all my business problems. I don't really want to run a business. but I want to do this work because I truly believe in it. And since that is the case, and we live in this particular construct, I have found myself with a business. Thus, I have hired Elle, an intrepid career coach, who I believe to be the yang to my yin. I have so many dreams for this practice, and I'm hoping she can help me understand how to make them a reality. I'm also trading professional services with two other humans who work in branding and social media, and I'm hopeful that by the beginning of 2023, I will have more meat on these very, very strong bones. My last and secret hope is that this will be my last unplanned quest for a while. The past few years have been such a hard time for so many. Most days I feel some combination of deeply terrified and greatly blessed. I read a quote by Alice Walker that said, "Look closely at the present you are constructing. It should feel like the future you are dreaming." I am terrified because this is not the future I want. I don't want to get stuck in limbo and I don't want to waste time. I also know I feel like the floor collapsed and I'm still getting my feet under me and I'm still fortifying. Patience is important in times like these. When I left Golden Gate, I had nowhere to go and I thought I might fall through the cracks, but I didn't. And for that, I feel incredibly blessed. How many people who are housing insecure get to spend time in million-dollar homes? Though this is so far from the future I want, how could I ever, ever complain? So I'm dancing the edge between terror and gratitude, and some days I'm doing pretty okay. Others, I wake up at 5 and I'm ready for bed again by 10 a.m. It's been interesting for me to notice the days I feel good, how easy it is for me to get carried away in that feeling. I will catch myself wanting to fill up my calendar, but I know I'm still in the middle. I know I have to be patient. I know I have to wait. So this is part of the waiting, I think. Telling stories, solidifying something that still doesn't feel totally real, and reminding myself what is possible when we show up for life, whatever it is that is barreling toward us. And lastly, using the pain in the only way it makes sense to me, showing other people that they are stronger than they think, that more is possible, and that they are not alone. Please join us next week for the delicious treat that is Wangoi Himes, followed by one of my favorite practitioners, Carissa Singh. And if you have any folks you know of who you think I should be talking to, please let me know. I would be so grateful. Thanks for being with me, and see you next week.